This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Along with Apostle Jay, who connected so many people, among them are Pastor Rowan Honey Wolftail in Browning, Montana. Those of you who are Restoration people know that about a month ago I had the privilege, along with Tim and Francine, to travel to Browning, along with Rabbi Kurt Landry, a Messianic Jewish rabbi from Oklahoma. We had a chance to go up and be a part of an amazing gathering in Browning, where we had, you know, I think what the hope was maybe 10 people would come, you know, to this baptism. Remember I told you about it? We were in the St. Mary Water, Lake Water, Glacier Lake Water. We had to break through the crust of ice. No, it wasn't quite that bad. But now I'm telling an evangelistic story now, right? But 150 Native people, First Nations people, gathered together, along with Rabbi Kurt. And what an honor to be in that gathering, just to be included, just to be there. That's all I was just grateful, just to be there. And from that opportunity then, as we stood in the headwaters of the Missouri, and as Apostle Jay just said, the river that once belonged to the Native people, yesterday we had a chance to go back to the river. We went down there yesterday afternoon with some of the leaders who were here, and we did the exact same thing that we did up in Brown, and we didn't dunk people in the river. We didn't do that, because that would not be a good thing here. But we were able to take the picture from Ezekiel 37 of the two sticks. They represented the two tribes. Israel was a divided nation at the time. And the Lord directed Ezekiel to take two sticks and bind them together. And interestingly enough, in the scripture, one of those sticks was named Joseph. Tell me that's coincidental, okay? One of those sticks, Joseph. So yesterday, those two sticks represented us and our First Nations brothers and sisters coming together. And we bound those sticks together with cords that cannot be broken, unified through that thread of the blood of Jesus that makes us one. And we released that into the water, just like we did up in Browning. And I'm telling you, it was a significant moment in our church history, but also in this city's history, to turn around something that was broken long ago. And it is our honor and privilege to have Pastor Roy and Honey Wolftail with us here this morning. Would you stand to your feet and honor Pastor Roy as he comes to minister to us today? And I'm going to, as Roy speaks, I'm going to put my tallit over the pulpit, as I was taught that this represents the covering, that we are together aligned with the nation of Israel and as brothers in Christ. Amen.
I'd like my wife to come up and greet you all.
Praise God. I greet you all this morning. Amen. Glad we could be here for the meeting. And we're kind of wore out a little bit, you know, because we've been going and driving and 2-3 times a day. And but anyhow, I thank God it's a new day. And thank God we're entering into a new year. You know, I don't know how many of you follow Hebraic, you know, the years and stuff like that. But we do. We're not trying to be Jew or anything like that, but we're aligned with Israel. We honor Israel, and you know, we follow the times and stuff like that. And like as soon as we're done here, we're heading to Rabbi Kurt's Rosh Hashanah tonight. It starts, and so he sent me a text. I think probably Tim got it too, but I want to read it. I don't know if he read it to you all, but this is what the year looks like. We're entering into 5777 Hebraic year, and it starts tonight. And Rabbi says, timing, this is a word for this season. Your promises will all come to pass in this new season of 5777. So hold on to your faith in him. Warning, beware of the spirit of distractions. It is a seducing spirit of the flesh. Stay watchful, on your wall and keep your lamps full of oil. The wise will stay close to the well, and the fool hewn themselves cisterns that will break and hold no water in the hour of greatest need. 5777 is a season of separation, a pruning back. He's pruning back distractions. 5777, rise up and put on your strength, for the darkness comes to steal your faith. Don't come in agreement with your fears and don't doubt. Be patient and persevering. James says in 5:7, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. The latter rain is already starting to fall. It's time to prepare for the harvest. If you are in a dry place, you're in the wrong place, and it's time for you to find rain and to let it rain on you. 5777, let times of refreshing come in Yeshua's name. Amen. So that's what the year looks like for us. Amen. And, you know, until the next Hebraic year, about this time, maybe September, it's not always the same, like January 1st, the Gregorian calendar. But, you know, I try to look into stuff like this. And we're also from Rabbi Kurtz. We're on our way to Texas to Chuck Pierce's conference. It starts this Thursday. And their theme for this year is the year of the sword. And we all know what the sword represents, right? It's the word of God. And it also represents part of the armor and spiritual warfare. And we got to be more sharp in the word of God. If you're a Christian that doesn't look at it every day, I encourage you to start reading your word every day. And another little secret, it's not a secret, but another little something that'll help you. We started it at the church, and I know there's some of you here that's on friends with me. I don't know if I can handle all of you, but I know, you know, there's a few that are my friends on Facebook, and our church, I always tell them, you start at the first of the month, which was yesterday, so you could catch up today. Today's the second. We read Proverbs through every month. You follow corresponding to the day. Like yesterday was the first, so you start chapter one yesterday. Chapter two today. Chapter three tomorrow until you get to, usually every, you know, there's a lot of months that's 31, and there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. And Proverbs is a book of wisdom, right? And we all need wisdom. Above anything else in this world, what we need is wisdom. Amen. For her prize is far above, you know, anything that you could, you know, if you have wisdom, you got it, because you'll make right choices. The book of Proverbs says, lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge the Lord. He shall direct your path. Train up your children in the ways of the Lord. When they're old, they will not forget. And, you know, you take these words like this, and most of those chapters are pretty short. Add that to your reading time, to your study time. Do it first thing in the morning. And, you know, I downloaded the Bible on my phone, so it's real easy for me, you know, because sometimes in the morning you just want to look at Facebook first thing. You can look at your Bible first thing and start reading that, and it'll help you. It'll help you. I'm just trying to, you know, give you little things to help you. Put that onto your reading time and whatever you read. And, you know, I also read my Bible daily. And I got one of those, you know, where you read the Bible in a year. And this is about my, 27 years that I've done it, where I read my Bible through in a year. and I take it day at a time. And then there's also study times. You do that separate too. So this is the year to get into your word. So your sword shall be sharp. Amen. So when the enemy comes at you, you're going to come back at him with the word of God. The word says this. And then, you know, you declare the word over the enemy. Amen. That's how you're going to win the war. Amen. If it's, you know, a lot of it, the battle, a lot of it starts in your mind. And so when the enemy starts to come into your mind, then the word says, you know, such as fear, huh? A lot of us fight with fear. How many of you ever fought with fear? There's all kinds of fears. Fears of sickness, fears of death, fears of, you know, just all kinds of fears, failure, whatever. But then you take the word of God, say, well, no, because the word says God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And I put on sound mind right now. It's your word, Lord. It's a spirit. I cast it out. It's not part of me. You know, that's how we war with the word. So I encourage you today, you know, to get into your word for this year, because it's the year of the sword also. Amen. So Lord bless you. And we're glad to be here. Amen.
Well, honey is more Jew than I am. I'm not going to talk too much Jewish stuff because she's more into... I just want to, first off, give honor to the Pastor Tim and his beautiful First Lady of the church here, and also to Sister Francine and her husband for introducing us to this church and the people here. And also I want to thank the Restoration Church for the hospitality that they've shown to us by giving us a nice basket when we went into the motel. And I don't know if we ate too much of it, but we'll eat it. And it's good. So, and the meals that were served. Amen. We thank God for all of you. We thank God for just so much that the Lord has blessed us with since we've been here. I want to just, we're kind of on time schedule, so I'm going to just read a couple things here concerning our life. We've been pastors at the church on the Rock in Browning for 21 years? 22. Okay, we moved from the state of Washington. I'm from Browning. I'm born and raised partly on the Blackfeet Reservation there in Browning, Montana, and moved to the state of Washington as a young man and back and forth, and came to know the Lord in 1960. When I was 16 years old, now you could figure my age out by that. I know your minds are starting to calculate. But I got saved in 1960, and a great move of the Spirit of God hit the Blackfeet, and a lot of young people and young couples, they came into the Lord according to prophecy. And I could read that, but I'll just tell you about that. A young brother by the name of Hiram Upham, he lived in Idaho, Washington at the time, and he traveled with a Crow Indian man by the name of Tom Tobacco. Now, that's a crazy name for an evangelist, but that's the way the Lord works, because the Lord has a sense of humor. The Lord is not a God that just sits there and... But look what he made. So the Lord blessed us, amen, with many colors, and he blessed us with many personalities, and some of us are more handsome than others. I don't want to get into that mode of being a comedian this morning. I just But I do thank the Lord that he saved me. He delivered me of spirits that came out of me, demonic spirits, and filled me with his spirit. And I've not been just, you know, the best Christian since that time, but praise the Lord, I'm still a Christian. And the Lord is still working on me after all of those years. But I thank God tonight, today, that we are here at this place. And I believe that it was preordained of the Lord that we are here today. Amen. And in this conference, using our sister Francine and gathering together this group of people that scattered, you know, different states and different reservations. And I believe that, I think it was around 1968, somewhere in that time period, when Billy Graham gave a word that he said, there's a sleeping giant, and when that sleeping giant awakes and awakens, he said, the greatest revival that ever hit the world will take place. And he said the sleeping giant is the Native Americans, you know, the First Nation people. So we got a hold of that, and, you know, we wondered about, well, how are we going to come into our place? Because many churches, you know, let me just say this. When we came into the Lord, and we went to outside the reservation, other areas, and we went to some churches, you know, you would think that everybody accepts you as a brother and sister in Christ, you know? You would think that. But we come, and then we share our testimony, whatever, and then a lot of people look at us and say, Native people, Indians cannot be... You know, they cannot last. One time, a man came to me and said, and this was a pastor. He said, brother, how long have you been serving the Lord? And I told him, yay, a number of years. And he looked at me and he says, no Indian can stand that long serving the Lord. I said, well... And it's not, and it's true that no Indian, no Caucasian, no black person, no Hispanic can stand serving the Lord for so many years without the help of God's Spirit living within them. Amen. So we're all dependent upon the Spirit of the Lord that he has given to us. Amen. And no matter where you go to China, you go to Russia, you go to Cuba, you go wherever, and you come into a place where people are born again, sanctified, filled with God's Spirit, they'll all speak in tongues, and they'll all act the same way. You know, when the... I've seen, you know, people of all nations react to the Holy Spirit of God, Holy Ghost of God moving in their lives, and they all act the same, they all talk the same, they all pray the same, they all, because we're one, and it's God's Spirit, praise the Lord, and I thank God for that. But I wanted to read something here. I believe that God is blessing his people, and I believe the fullness of the transfer of wealth is upon the church. There was a time when we struggled. That's, I'm talking about myself and Honey. We struggled with finances and just had enough to get wherever we were going and didn't know if we would get anything from them that had invited us. And it was true, sometime they would give us $100 or two and traveling sometime close to 600-700 miles and providing for our own rooms and eats. Well, you can imagine the total cost of what we spent. Then they give us $100 thinking they really are doing us a big favor by what they gave. And there were other times we didn't get a dime, so getting $100 was pretty good, I guess. We took it all with a grain of salt and just left it in the care of the Lord. Thank God for mentors who they themselves went through the same thing we were going through. Taught us that if we didn't or can't get in this place, then God will meet the need somewhere down the road, and he will provide one way or the other. But now the favor of the Lord is upon us in that when we go to meetings, even big conferences, we are usually blessed with our meals being paid for and our rooms being taken care of. Also, money-wise, we get blessed. Excuse me. Praise the name of the Lord for the blessing. I will never forget when life was hard and there was much poverty. I thank God for he broke off me the spirit of poverty. Most of my life I lived with just enough to get by. There was much hunger in my life, hunger for the natural food. It seemed there was just never enough. There were times when there was plenty. We had plenty. There was a lot of laughter in the home and, you know, all of that. But again, there was lean times when separation came between my mother and stepfather. My natural father died when I was 4. He was in the army, and things happened. So, you know, I didn't really get to know him, just remember him a couple times. And my mother was left with 5 children, and it was hard living on the reservation. There was no welfare system or things of that nature at that time. And she just received an army pension, about $36 a month, I think. And basically, that is what we lived on. And I'm not telling you a sad story. I'm bringing you to the point where the Lord had blessed us, because we lived in the spirit of poverty on the reservation. And my stepfather and mother, when they got together, well, they brought us to Washington back and forth, and they were known as, what do you call them, fruit tramps? They would go and work, and, you know, for the season, when it was done, well, then back and forth. And the children in the family was never stable. I mean, there was never a stable home life to where we could continue schooling for the whole year, because being that they were people that went to work in the fields, well, they would pull us out of school early, and then when we came back home, we would be late, so we could never really catch up. So basically, the 5 children that my mother was left with never finished high school. And we had others that came later. But you know, that's the way life was. It was just hard. And so most of us just dropped out of school, went to maybe the 8th grade, if even that. And but you know something? There was a determination within my family. And there was a lot of alcohol within my family. A lot of, I saw it all. I've seen, you know, alcohol, what it does to families, breaks them up, and the suffering that children go through. I've seen it. And I think within ourselves, we determined that we were not going to allow our children to see that in our lives. So most of my siblings graduated one way or another. Usually I graduated through a GED program. And, you know, I thank God went on to some college, kind of a lot of college, with the help of my wife. And so I thank the Lord, you know, that he brought us to the place where he brought us. Now, we're not saying that, you know, everything is we're not rich, but, you know, we're well taken care of by our Father. And so I know the thing, where was I? Alcohol took strong first in our home. I said that. My mother got to drinking. And alcohol is a thing that I hate. It's a very selfish habit or addiction. It wants all of your attention. It don't care who it hurts, children, spouse. It will rob you of everything and cause you to lose all self-respect and make you lose all sense of responsibility. And that's exactly what happened within my life. I determined that I would never drink alcohol because I saw the effects that it had on my mother and others in the family, her brothers. You know, I saw a lot of fighting amongst them, and, you know, blah, 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 and this and that. And it was in me that I would never touch alcohol. And at the time, I didn't know what knowing the Lord personally was all about. I just knew the church that I chose to go to and follow its teachings. I went there faithfully. And let me go back just a little bit. I was raised basically by my mother, by my two older sisters, and they're the ones that were the boss. And they told me what to do. And so I did it, and I was, you know, ruled by them because there was no father figure. After some years, my stepfather and my mother separated because of alcohol. And I never had that father figure in my, you know, to a male figure, rather. My uncles, well, they just drank, you know, did whatever, and there was a lot of dysfunction. Oh, on the reservation, there's a lot of dysfunction, as well as anywhere else. But, you know, I thank the Lord that he could change everything around. And that's exactly what he did. I did experience alcohol. One night, I don't know, when I was about 13 years old, I was hanging around with my cousin. She said, "Let's come with us." And she was a group of gals with her, and they were. I walked downtown with them, and they call it throwing in. So, you know, they put all their pennies and dimes and nickels and whatever together, and they would get enough for a bottle of wine. Some of you Indians know what I'm talking about. They would get this and then get a runner. Then they'd give the money to the man or the woman that will go to the bar for them and, you know, buy them the quart of wine. And then they would drink. And, well, they did that. And then I never tasted alcohol before or whatever. And then my cousin said, "Come on, Roy, have some." And I said, "No, I don't want none. It's not, no." And then they start saying, "Come on, you woman." And they were all gals, you know, themselves. And then they, "Come on, be a man," you know, and all of this, and get tough women, just young girls, you know, probably 13, 14 and that. And they were telling me, "Come on, you woman, don't be a woman, drink. Come on, be a man," and all that. And then after a while, I got to think, well, maybe I could taste it. So I did. I took a couple of shots of, I didn't like it. I didn't like the taste. But then I kind of liked the feeling after, you know, it got into my, and maybe a couple more drinks and I was drunk. I remember walking from one end of the town, we don't have a big town, one end of, in the alley to the other end of the town, which ended at the Mormon church. And then I was clear-headed again. And then I looked around and said, "What in the world am I doing?" And I took off home. And that was the first time I ever experienced alcohol. It didn't affect until, you know, later. But I thank God that I did not totally give myself over to alcohol, as I promised. And one day I said this, I'm going to see a change within my family. I'm going to see a change in their lives. And when I got saved, sanctified, delivered, filled with the Holy Spirit. Me and my sister came into the Lord together. She's a little older than I am. And one day she told me, she said, "Roy, let's pray for our family." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Let's pray that they would come to the Lord, know him as we do." And so I said, "Okay." We were living in Browning at the time. I stayed with them and my mother, my brothers, sisters, and some uncles all lived in the state of Washington. So we started to pray. We'd get down every day on our knees and we'd cry out to the Lord. And we'd talk to him and tell him to save our people because of the word of God that says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy household." So that's what we did. We stood upon the word of God. And one day I was kneeling in the living room there. We were all kneeling and I was praying and just lost in talking to the Lord. And it seemed like I could hear the door open ever so often. But I didn't, you know, stop praying and to look around. Then after we got through praying, it was quiet. And then I got up and I turned around. And lo and behold, there was my mother, my brothers, my sisters. They were all sitting in the living room. Even my one of my uncles came back. And he was sitting in the room with us. And they were looking at us kind of like strange because they never, you know, in their lives saw us or, you know, all, pray or whatever. And so my sister explained to them what happened. She said, "Roy got saved." She didn't say we got saved. She said, "But Roy got saved. And he got filled with the Holy Ghost." And when my youngest uncle, he looked at me and he said, "Who do you think you are? You're so young, you're not even going to last this." Oh, boy, he started to bawl me out. And I was just smiling at him because I was full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And the power of God was upon my life. I didn't worry about what he was saying. And that's what I say. You know, when we come as Indian people come into the Lord, you'd think that our own people would receive us gladly. But you know something? Let me tell you this. And it's probably going to be heard, but there's a lot of the people on our reservations that hate the name of Jesus because of he distracts and disrupts their way of life because Jesus is bringing many to himself and they're mad about it. And they come against us. And this is what Sister was saying, the traditional people, as she was calling them. And these are traditional. And most of them do not receive, you know, they'll say God, they'll say Creator, all of this. But they will not acknowledge the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as we do. And we are in love with the Lord. We love him. But, you know, we're persecuted sometimes because of that and misunderstood. But I thank the Lord that the Lord is going to change that and there's going to be a transformation take place on many reservations. Hallelujah. And the sleeping giant that the Reverend Graham had talked about, praise God, is going to arise and the people in the land is going to hear about it. Hallelujah. And already there's a move, praise God, a stirring in different places. We just came from the state of Washington on the Tulalip Indian Reservation there, and the Lord has prospered that place, and they're blessed. And not only that, but many young people are on fire for the Lord. Oh my goodness, you can't even preach. Hardly, you know, people are yelling, they're jumping out of their chairs, yelling to the word of God and just praising the Lord. And it stirred me up, hallelujah, because it reminded me of the day that I was saved and the time period that I was brought into the Lord. And we used to shout out to the Lord and cry out to him. And the Bible says this, that Jesus, when he prayed, he with strong cryings. And I was looking at Sister Joanne yesterday when she was praying in her own tongue, and she was with strong travail for the people. Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus did. And you know, sometimes we're so pious and we're so holy and we're so reverent that we don't want to move, we don't want to shake our head because we just got a haircut or we got a hallelujah. I think it's time that we let our hair down before
the Lord. Praise God, because of David said this. He said, I will praise him in the dance. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, praise the Lord in the dance. And we thank God for that. Hallelujah. I like to dance before the Lord. I try every kind of dance. I looked at it one day and I said, well, this is, you know, when I was in the world, as we call it, not knowing the Lord, unredeemed, when I went to dances, I didn't know I'd dance, but boy, I'd be out there. And the first dance that I ever knew of hearing about was the bop. I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember the bop, but that's what I learned. And my friend, he was a bopper. He learned how to dance, and I'd watch him and watch him. And I said, how do you do that? He said, all you have to do is just, you know, go. So, boy, I was out there just... Next thing's getting fancier, you know. So I did a lot of, try to do a lot of dances, you know, as I was through the years. But the best dance that I ever felt doing was dancing before the Lord. Amen. Because I've been delivered from so much. I always testify about this, that the Lord has kept me in health. I've never been in the hospital. I've never, when I was little, I was in the hospital. But through the years, I never went through any major surgery. I've got all the parts, you know, and no scars on my body. And just maybe 2 years ago, I experienced a heart attack. They put some stents in me, and that's basically the first time that I had IVs put in me and all that. But, you know, I'm not bragging, but I am bragging for the Lord, that he kept me, praise the Lord, in health. And even after the heart attack, I still travel. I do everything, praise God. I went to the doctor one day, and he said, Roy, there's nothing wrong with your heart. You had a heart attack, but you don't have heart disease. So you could basically do anything you want to do. And so I thank God for that. Amen. And Brother Tim was talking about the act that we did out here, and there was something broke in the atmosphere. And we were just a group of people that were there, you know, tying a couple twigs together and all of that. And to other people, it might look strange and, you know, foolish. But the act that we did, I believe, was recorded in heaven. And the atmosphere changed. Well, we got attacked last night in the room. In my sleep, I was attacked. And later on, I woke up about 5, something like 5:30, and then, you know, stayed awake and started to pray and all that. And I could feel just the horrible, ugly spirit. And then all of a sudden, I heard my son, you know, like that. And then I jumped up and I went over there and I was trying to turn on the light, and he was being attacked under it. So, you know, when we come into territories and we deal with territorial spirits and we dismantle them, there's a fight. Hallelujah. But it's a good fight. Yes. It's a good fight. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we should fight the good fight of faith. And that's what we're doing, praise the Lord. We're dismantling some things, hallelujah. Just like our sister brought out the first sermon of this conference, she said this, that, you know, strongholds must be torn down in our individual lives, in the area, and in the territory, because there's territorial spirits that many of us don't understand about, but we have to deal with them. And we have to claim our territory. Huh? We have to claim it. Praise the Lord. The Lord spoke and showed me yesterday, sit down by the river there, and he said this concerning our brother and sister here. He said this. He says, because you have chosen to go amongst the vile to dig out the precious, he says, I am going to raise up the area where you're at, and it will be like a very precious jewel. Amen. Where multitudes will come, hallelujah, just to see what's going on. Praise the Lord. And I thought, well, praise God, the Lord has given this territory, hallelujah, to the people of God. God is looking upon this St. Joseph, hallelujah, and he's going to pour out his spirit, hallelujah. He's going to anoint churches and raise up communities around about, praise God, where the Holy Spirit of God has fallen, hallelujah, and St. Joseph is going to be like a bell that's ringing in the center of the United States of America, hallelujah, that God is alive, that God is moving, that God is not dead, but we are praising the Lord and lifting him up, hallelujah, and the people are going to hear about it and know, praise the Lord, that things are happening, amen. Praise God. I don't know what it's all going to entail, but let me tell you this. Hallelujah. When we're hungry for God, the Bible says that we're going to be filled. I'll try to finish this, what I'm reading. Okay, I had two brothers that died as a direct result of alcohol. Other relatives that have also died because of the deadly addiction. And my mother was a victim of alcohol, and she was bound to it for many years. But by the grace of God, she was born again. And the last words spoken from her mouth, my brother had to listen with his ear next to her mouth in the hospital, was, "It is so beautiful." And you know, she was seeing heaven. Praise God. And that gave us great comfort and assurance, knowing that she made it into God's eternal presence. I one day determined that when I got married, my children would never have to see me intoxicated, or would not have to suffer of going without in anything. And by God's grace, I have lived up to that vow. Ooh. I love the Lord with all that He has, for all that He has done for me and given me a blessed wife who works right alongside of me, and I thank God for that. I'm Blackfeet, from the Blackfeet tribe, and I had to go across the state of Montana to find a young, beautiful Crow girl. Her mother's right there. Charlene, raise your hand. I don't know how many horses I gave you. No, that's but honey is worth hundreds. and I thank God for her coming into my life, because she inspires me in many ways, and she pushed me, you know, to become self-confident, because I was backward. I couldn't talk to people. If they asked me a question, I'd answer them real quick, and then I couldn't think of anything else to say. In my mind, it's going 100 miles a minute, you know, to carry on a conversation, but I've basically always been a quiet person. And it was hard for me, but she pulled me out of that, and I pulled her out of her, you know, so we complemented one another, and then she helps me, I help her, you know, to balance our lives, and I thank God for that. The Lord bless us with two sons, amen, Jared and Jarrell, and they are a blessing. I love them with all of my heart, you know, and I praise the Lord for the family that He has blessed me with, my mother-in-law, and she's got a small family, a couple brothers. Her brother just passed, one younger brother passed just a couple years back. And so the Lord has really enriched us so that when we travel, you know, the Lord, just like I said, has promised that he would take care of us. Now, when I read this, you know, that getting 100 here and 100 there, it's not that we go to places for money, because the Lord has placed within us a ministry, and he has given to us something to help the body. See, in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, it talks about, and God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for what? The perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith, unto a perfect man, unto the fullness of the stature of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's what it's about. He gave me a ministry. And we work together in the ministry, praise the Lord. And I'll tell you something, honey, she might seem timid and, you know, all of this and sitting there and all that. But when she starts to pray, I'll tell you, the Lord uses her. And when she lays hands upon people, you got to be fast if you're a catcher, because, you know, they pray like that. And I preach, yes, and all of that, and build the people up as best I could. But, you know, when they start to pray, people go down and things happen. Praise the Lord. There's been so many miracles in the church since we have started the church. One outstanding is the little baby that the baby was born blind. And they came and they wanted the baby dedicated. And so we were in the process of dedicating the child. And they said, they didn't say incidentally, but they said, the baby is blind, can't see. I said, what? And I looked at the baby like that, and I said, they said the baby is blind. Okay. So we were talking. I was looking at the baby like this, and I was saying, oh, Jesus, we're going to dedicate this child, but is she a girl? I mean, is she a girl? Was the baby a girl? I can't remember. But anyhow, I looked at the baby like this, and then I'd move my head this way, and I'd move it that way. And then the eyes were so tiny, just little tiny eyes, and they opened, and just staring. And then all of a sudden, as I was moving back and forth like that, they were talking, telling me, you know, about the baby and all this and that. I was going back and forth like, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All of a sudden, the eyes started to follow me. My movement, like, I said, you folks say she's blind? Yes, they say she's blind. I said, look. They all looked. And here the baby received her sight right then and there. They brought her back to the doctor, and the baby's running around today. I mean, she's not a baby anymore, but she, you know, she sees all right. Things like that. Baby drowned in the bathtub. And they called us. So we started to pray. Honey jumped on the phone and, you know, agree with me. So we agreed and prayed and rebuked death and all of this. Then they rushed baby to the hospital. The baby was revived before getting to the hospital. You know, the life come back. I thank God that we see these things. Amen. When I was young in my ministry, I went to Canada. And there, a young lady had passed, and she was gone for about 2 hours and 45 minutes. And I went down to the house where they were at. And I'll just share this real, just cut it short. I went there, she was laying on bed, people in the house, they were all crying, their eyes were red, and, you know, just crying, and they just pointed. They were Cree that most of them couldn't talk too good of English, so they pointed, and I just went into the bedroom, and I stood there, and I saw this girl, and I thought, oh, God. The night before, I was left alone, the party that I was with went on to another area, and I was left in Canada, Calstock. Alone, and I prayed. I said, Lord, if ever you have to prove to people that I belong to you, that you belong to me, you've got to show them some way, somehow, that you are with me, and that I'm not just up here, just a kid that, you know, well, I thought. Anyhow, I prayed, and I said, Lord, what shall I do? And while I was standing there over the bed, the Lord said, put your lips upon her lips. Well, that was a hard thing to do. I prayed. I said, oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, put your lips upon her lips. Oh, so I went, I moved to the bed, and then I, you know, excused the brother that was kneeling by the bed there, and then I went down, I touched her carotid to see if there, you know, I know she's dead, she's cold, color's gone, everything. And I just did that, and then when I did that, I went like this, and then I put my lips on her lips. When I did that, there was a pop in her chest. Something popped, and it came out of her mouth. Her mouth was open a little bit, and it hit me. I took a napkin, put it in my pocket, and then I looked at her like that, and then her eyelids start to flutter. Both of them was fluttering. And then all of a sudden, I looked at her chest, and I could see it rise, and then color started to come back. And then I stood back and I told the people, she'll be all right. And everybody, what? They looked at her like that. And then there was an excitement. And, you know, her father and all the workers came in and they were standing at the door there. And so I walked out like, well, you know, where's the next one? No. But, you know, it's the power of God. And when you're obedient to the Lord, praise God, you'll see his signs and wonders take place. So I thank the Lord that he has brought us to the place that he has brought us. And we are given honor to God for everything that he has done for us. Amen. He has brought us a mighty long way from nothing to the place where he has brought us today. I'm not saying we're great or anything like that, but he has just blessed us tremendously within our lives. Amen. And thank God, you know, that we come in contact with people such as Pastor Tim, his family. We met his wonderful son, now his daughter-in-law, and Will, wherever he's at, and, you know, their daughter, we met them before, when we were here before, and the Lord is just opening doors, praise God. And the greatest thing that I desire, if you ever prayed, pray for the First Nation people in Canada, in the United States, and in Mexico. And southern, you know, so that they would be stirred up enough to arise. See, the Lord told a lot of people when they start hearing that the native people were going to arise, and you know, they would. I'd hear people preaching, "We're going to be the head, and we're not going to be the." Yes, it's true. The Lord will bless us and bring us, you know, to a greater anointing and understanding of things. But I was praying one day as we were going to Oklahoma City, and for a conference to find out exactly where the native people fit into the body of Christ and how, you know, we were going to connect and all. And going down, I was praying. I said, Lord, how is it going to happen? What's going to happen? So thank God. How many of you believe that God could speak to you? If you ask your natural father, you know, it would be crazy if brother here asked his brother Tim, said, Dad, you know, let's talk. Let's have a conversation. And he talks to him, and then he asks him for something. And then Tim just sits there, ignores him and all. It wouldn't be a right connection. It wouldn't be a right relationship between father and son. Well, God is greater than Tim. Amen. And God hears us when we pray. God hears us as his sons and his daughters, praise the Lord. When we pray to him and we ask for an answer, God gives us an answer. So I believe this is a partial answer to what God is, you know, how he's going to bring the native church in. He showed me the United States of America, the outline and the country, and I saw a wave starting to come. It started to, it was almost like a tsunami wave that spread across the continent. And it, as it was coming, it was gaining momentum. And when I looked again, I saw Native warriors standing upon the waves like they were surfing and on the waves. And it was coming. And it was, as it came across the country, it was gaining momentum. And then all through the land, there was warriors standing, like at attention and waiting and expecting, you know. And when the wave came, these that was on the wave would reach down and grab the hand of those that were down waiting. And they would pull them up on the, and it would get stronger and stronger. And they would flowed across the continent. And the Lord spoke to me and said this. He says, I am going to bring the native part of my body into place. And when it comes into place, it's not going to be like everybody is going to be higher than the other. But he says, every race is going to accept them as equals, even as they will accept one another as equals. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you know something? I'm looking for that time. Praise the Lord. And when that happens, the greatest revival that we have ever prayed for is going to hit the land. Hallelujah. And deliverances are going to take place on a daily basis. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord shows the book of Acts to us sometimes, you know, as a fulfillment within our lives. We were in Tulalip, Washington, and I got to speak on the certain night, Thursday or something. And as we were speaking and I was talking about the power and the anointing of God's Spirit, lo and behold, demons started to manifest in a young lady, and she started to get delivered even during the word of God. Amen. But you know how many Pentecostal people are. First thing they run to, you know, and they try to lay hands on what God is doing. And they'll say, well, I, you know, did you see me when I went up there? Boy, there was demons just shot out. But you know, that's not, if we would have just allowed God to work, if we would allow his Spirit to move, praise God, he knows how to deliver. Hallelujah. We don't have to wrestle them. We don't have to beg them. We don't have to ask their names. All we have to say is go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because those spirits are subject unto us through Jesus Christ. Amen. Whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And if we loose people from these bondages, praise God, it's recorded in heaven that Roy Wooptail is delivered. Amen. And if I you loose, praise God, me, the kingdom of God upon me, then it's recorded in heaven that I am a kingdom child starting from that time forth. Praise the Lord. So these things are happening. Hallelujah. I get excited about it. Praise the Lord that God is moving by his Spirit and things are happening. Hallelujah. Not just in the Indian community, but in communities that people need to be stirred up. Yeah. Amen. The Holy Spirit has got to be poured out as in the days of Acts. Hallelujah. 2, when they were in the upper room seeking the Lord, he says, when repentance come, times of refreshing shall come upon the people. Hallelujah. And sometimes we just got to confess our pride. We got to confess our lethargy. We got to confess our complacency within our lives against the things of God and say, Lord, forgive me, just forgive us for whatever. Hallelujah. And the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord will fill the house. Hallelujah. And you'll see genuine repentance and crying, praise God, and rejoicing. Hallelujah. And that's what the Lord wants in our lives. And I claim it for this city. I claim it for this church. And if you're from another church, I claim it for your church also. Praise the Lord. We got to go where there is life, where there's a flow. Amen. Amen. Yes, let me just read one more thing here. The Word of God tells us not to despise the day of small beginnings. And as we continue to walk with the Lord, things happen and a lot of things change within us and within our financial status. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow with it. So we start small. In the church that we're in Browning, we started at homes. Basically, that's how most every church begins. Few people come together, and the Lord starts to move, and it grows, and then we expand. Well, we expanded from homes to a funeral home, to a funeral chapel. And you ask Indians are spooky. Get scared of ghosts. And, that's how we, well, anyhow. And so we went to this funeral home because they weren't having too much business. And we rented the building, and we were there, and right here on this door says casket room. And then just beyond that was the embalming room. And everybody would be kind of sitting in the middle, and they didn't want to. No. But we went ahead and, we moved into that. And after a while, it didn't bother us no more. When you see those women walking through the casket room, and then the guys had to put the instruments by the embalming room, and all of that. So we just walked around. And one crazy gal, she climbed into one of those coffins. You're not supposed to. But she did it, and she lay there and so that broke that, that broke the fear of things like that from us, and we just went on praising the Lord. We moved to a former flower shop, and then to the Methodist Church for a couple years or 5 years or whatever, and they kept telling me, we need a church. I said, I know, we'll pray about it. I have felt no release to get a church going. And then we had a need in Browning that there was a lot of premature deaths, some suicidal, and some a lot of wrecks, car accidents. And a lot of the people were dying when the car wrecked. They would die of broken necks. And it was going on weekly. It was like a curse. And we prayed. We didn't know what to do. Honey said, remember when Brother Swallow went to Standing Rock and he dismantled the spirit of suicide that was there? Packs of young people would make packs. A bunch of young people would make packs together that they would, commit suicide and all this. And he went, and the spirit of Ra was broke and dismantled, and the suicide stopped. She said, remember that. I said, okay, yeah. He said, let's get a hold of Brother Jay and see if he'll give us advice. So we called Brother Jay Swallow, who we hadn't, communicated with for a while, and he was more than willing to come to Browning to teach us as to what to do. And he came, and he stayed with us a couple days, gave us instruction, and in the process, he came out to where a brother had already, dug out the dimensions of our foundation for a church, and it sat there for a few years because I didn't feel a release. But Brother Jay came, he got in the middle of that hole that was dug, and he started to make decrees. He started to dismantle. He started to decree blessings upon us that everything would be fall into place, the finances would come and all. And you know something? We didn't have to depend upon outside help in order to get the majority of the building up. There was a time we flew to Oklahoma City at the invitation there of the church there, and they allowed us to speak, and they gave us an offer, and it was $7,000, I think, or $7,000, and it all went into the building, but it was sisters in the church that would make breakfast, sell it, dinner, lunch, sell it, And then they would pray, say, Lord, we need $500 today or whatever. And whatever they prayed for, God provided that money. And it went into, the builders were there anxiously building, and then sometimes they'd come, we need this, we need that. Okay, well, let's pray about it. And then everything would start falling into place. We needed a septic tank and a well. Brother met this person. He came to visit the tribe there and went to our administration building, and he talked with this brother, and he says, I help churches. And he said, okay, well, we need help. And so he got a hold of me, and you know, I didn't get to meet the man, but then, you know, he went out there and estimated things and all that, and later on he sent, was it a check? He sent a check, I think, for a few thousand dollars, and that provided for the, you know, basic needs of the well and the septic. But Brother Tim has been at the church, and he has seen what the Lord has blessed us with. And it's not just, you know, like a small church or whatever, but it's a big church. And we got chandeliers. Where's the... We got chandeliers, and she is the, you know, the one that decorated and gave the colors and all of that, and, you know, whatever. So her and Tim get together, boy, a place when they go into, oh, those two. Oh, okay. Because I asked, who did those arrows back there? And Krista said that you had... Okay, well, anyhow, but the Lord had blessed us, and we're blessed, praise God, and that's all I can say is that we are blessed, amen, and we are, I hope these eyes live long enough to see the anointing and the power of God to bring complete transformation to the reservations, hallelujah, that are still in poverty. There are many people that are still suffering on our reservation. There's an epidemic of meth and Suboxone, I guess that's what you call it. And, you know, they supposed to help, the Suboxone is supposed to help people come down from heroin, other things like that. But it's also a drug that the people got a hold of, and it's making them high and hooked and addicted and all of that. Their lives are miserable. There's a lot of that. But, you know, I don't look at that so much because it would depress me and, you know, cause me to give up. But I look, hallelujah, to the one that is able, hallelujah, to change the whole situation. And he has talked to us and told us, praise God, that we are going to see great things happen upon the Blackfeet Reservation. A couple years ago on our reservation, tribal government was split. And there was two factions trying to run the tribe, and none of them had power. Except, you know, through the BIA, and it was just a horrible mess. The tribal workers could not get paid for weeks at a time, and there was a lot of, you know, trouble going on. But we took it upon ourselves as, you know, believers in the Lord from our church and a group of people from the church. We would go out every day putting on our tallits, and we would go to various points in the reservation, high points, low points, you know, in the mountains, whatever. And we would pray, just maybe about 20 minutes holding hands, praying for our government and for our reservation. And it was bad. It was bad. Just, you know, split. But I thank God, hallelujah, that the Lord comes on the scene when we ask him to. Praise God. He changed everything. We got one government today, hallelujah, and there's peace on the reservation, but, you know, there's still a lot, just like I say, a lot of drugs and alcohol. Still there, we only have one bar, but a lot of drunks. And we need that changed. Amen. We need that changed. So I ask you, praise God, humbly to pray for us, the Blackfeet Reservation. Pray for every reservation in Canada and also in the United States. Hallelujah. Amen. That, you know, they would come up under from under a poverty mentality. Yeah. And stand in their own place, trusting in the Almighty God as their Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that will provide for them. Praise God. Not leaning upon, you know, hand out here, hand out there, whatever. But hallelujah, trusting in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, who is the great I am. So with that, I just give it back to your pastor. Praise the Lord.
I was remembering when we were here last time, Roy, that we came into this room after we were meeting in there, and we drove a peg into the floor right here where I'm standing. And now here we are having church. I love it. And as you were speaking, Roy, the Lord just dropped this verse in my heart, and I want to read it, and the guys are going to put it on the screen. It's Isaiah 43 from the Amplified. It says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth." Well, I like that word, springs. It doesn't creep. It doesn't drip, right? Drips are annoying. It's springing. It's bursting forth. "Do you not perceive and know it? And will you not give heed to it?" Wow. We need to give heed to what the Lord is doing today. And honey mentioned that today happens to be the start of Rosh Hashanah. Starts this evening, actually, at sundown. And I texted Rabbi because I knew we were going to read that word that he sent us. And he said, "Wonderful." And then he sent a Hebrew greeting to you all. Lashana Tova, which I lived in Israel. I can say that. I have permission to say that. Lashana Tova. Say it with me. Lashana Tova. It means good year. Not the tire, but have a good year. Lashana Tova. He says, "May you be inscribed for a good year." Shabbat Shalom, Rabbi. So today, we're going to have a traditional Rosh Hashanah feast. And the ladies have prepared the apples and honey up here at the table. And here's what I want to do. If my ushers would come on up and bring the offering buckets, and I want to spread them across the front of the platform as we have all week long for our visiting speakers. And you know what? I don't want Roy and Honey to go away with just a drip of blessing. I want to burst forth upon them. Because here's what I know, that the Lord has linked us together for a strategic purpose. And I have been in Browning, Montana. I've walked the streets. I've seen the precious people in their church. And I've seen the neighborhoods. And I've seen the houses of the people that the Lord has sent you to minister to. And I feel connected as a congregation. I think we have a sister church in Browning. I know. And this is not the last time that you're going to see us together, and we're going to be up there with y'all, and we're going together to watch transformation happen on the reservation and in St. Joseph, Missouri. If you agree, would you just clap to the Lord and say amen? Amen. So just as Apostle Jay Swallow was the first first leader to pray in this building, I'm going to ask Apostle Roy if he would also bless this new season for us as a congregation, as we enter into a Shana Tova, a good year, a new season in the Lord. Would you do that for us, brother?
Our Father, we thank you this day for the greatness of your Spirit. We reverence you, yes. God, and be in our presence, yes. And in our midst. We thank you, Lord, for this new beginning that, yes, we feel within our hearts. We pray, oh God, that there would be an awakening,
yes, Jesus,
as never before in each of our spirits, Lord. God, to start this day, Lord God, this year, with the sword.
That's right.
Lord God, let the blessing of God fall upon each one of us, Lord God, as we walk from this building. We pray, O God, that, hallelujah, our hearts would be stirred as never before, and that you would visit each and every individual here, God, as you have never visited them before. Today we decree,
yes,
upon this building, upon this pastor and his wife and their congregation, Lord God, the blessing of Yeshua.
Yes.
Yeshua, we ask today that you would just pour out your anointing as never before. We ask, O God, that you would bless every heart.
Yes.
Lord, you've already said that you were going to make this place a jewel in the midst of the nation. And we thank you for that. We decree it over this people. We decree it over our brother. Lord God, hallelujah. We give you honor and praise humbly. Lord God, hallelujah, asking you that you are going to move, Lord God, as you have never moved, oh God, within our hearts and in our spirits, Lord God, that you will change lives, Lord God. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you. Oh, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, Lord, hallelujah. And we love you so much for what you have done for us, Lord God, how you have changed us. How you have brought us even to this place, oh God, hallelujah, oh God. And you'll reconcile many, many, many souls unto yourself, even through this ministry and through the ministry of this church. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Let's give the Lord thanks this morning. Just stand to your feet with us. We dismiss. So here's how we're going to do this. You're going to come forward and you're going to bless Pastor Roy and Honey with your offering, and I say let's let it burst forth on them and send them out of here with the love of this church and this city. And as you come up, be sure, and here's how the Jewish people celebrate Rosh Hashanah. They take an apple slice, they dip it in the honey, and they taste and see that the Lord is good. It's going to be a sweet new season in the Lord, all right? So come on up and give your offering. Be sure to take your sweet New Year's sampler as you go. And if you would like prayer for any reason, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life and you want to begin a new year with a new life in him, it would be our honor and privilege. Just stay up here after you sample the New Year treats and stand on the carpets up here, and someone will come with you and just pray over you. The rest of you, thank you so much for coming to this historic day. It's a new season. Lift up your hands. I'm going to bless you and say Shana Tova, good year. Amen. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. You are dismissed. God bless you.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit RestorationSTJ.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.